is 258. Quickly, I want to move through this, and then we'll get to our meeting. But I want to continue. It was Mother's Day last week, so we took a little break. But I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to deal with a passage of Scripture that we've heard many a times as it relates to the gifts that Christ gave to the church. Ephesians chapter 4, we've been looking at how that when Christ arose, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And what we were looking at in our last sermon as it relates to this was how these gifts then are to equip. Christ gave them to equip the church. He gave the apostle, the prophet. The church was founded upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. But also the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. The scripture says very pointedly that these gifts, these men, as it were given to the church for this purpose, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. For the equipping of the saints, in other words, to do the work of the ministry. The New American Standard Version of Ephesians 4:12 says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. Father, I thank you for your word now. I thank you for the truth that it is and the change that it brings to us. So as your word, Lord, as your word comes to us, I thank you for the change that it brings. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives within us that is in agreement with the word that is coming to us, Lord, that we might be transformed, Lord, by your word into that which you are calling us to be in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 And so the equipping, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher are here to equip, or the word in the Greek is perfect or to complete, you for the works of ministry or the works of service, the scripture says. For the edifying of the body of Christ. The preaching of the word is not so we can say, oh, didn't Bishop bring it today? Ow, I felt the glory. Ooh, did you feel that? No, that's not why the word is preached. The word is preached so that you and I can be transformed. That's what happens when the word is preached. Listen, every time you sit under the preaching and teaching of the word of God, God intends to change you by the word that is preached to you, by the word that goes in you, that he intends for it to be lived in you, through you. You see? And so that's why he enabled men with gifts and anointings to preach the word, to teach the word, to expound upon the word, to open up the word. But he says that the equipping was so that you and I could serve. The New American Standard says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. In other words, God's called us to a place of service. It was interesting to me how that God often confirms his word. So when Bill got up and said, my youngest daughter gave me this scripture with me, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that though he was equal with God, he didn't count it robbery to be made in the image of God, but he humbled himself and became a servant, a bondservant, or a slave, if you will. He became a servant. And I thought, how interesting. Thank you, Father, that there it is, that you're tying it all together, because my whole message is about being a servant today. It's about serving. Why? Why? Because Jesus said this in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served. He did not come to be served. And oftentimes we have to ask ourselves, why do I go to church? Do I go to be served? Well, I want to feel good. Ow! Is that what we, no? No. Really, we should come because we want to serve. I want to be a blessing to somebody. Come on, you ever awaken in the morning or on Sunday morning and say, Lord, I want to prophesy it. I want to encourage somebody. And when I say prophesy, don't get me wrong. It doesn't have to be, thus saith the Lord. That's not. If that is your only idea of prophecy, okay, we missed it far and wide. We need to spread this thing out. We need to let people, you can. I was prophesying earlier here. When I was talking about love, I was prophesying. Okay, it was prophetic. I had no intention of saying that. It just come up in my spirit. I just said, well, I'm just going to let this go because I know, because if somebody going to get blessed by it, I know I'm going to get blessed. Because the scripture says, the husbandman must be first partaker of the fruit. So when the harvest starts coming, the husbandman is the first one to taste it. Say, this is good before you ever get it. So it's got to bless me for it to bless you. And so as it was coming, I said, oh Lord, I'm just going to let this go because I hear what you're saying. And so, but Lord, I want to prophesy today, which means I want to go to church. I want to be a blessing to someone. I want to say something that edifies, exhorts, and comforts. Children and I were reading the scripture this morning in the Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. The first verse has to do with the tongue. And oftentimes as you're reading through the book of Proverbs, as we are, it comes down to the tongue. A soft answer turns away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. Stir up anger. And so when we come to church, listen, you can come and just be a blessing just by what you say to somebody. You can prophesy without saying, thus saith the Spirit. You can just say it. They'll know when it's God. You don't have to tell them. You don't have to tell them, thus saith the Lord. No, when they hear God's voice, they'll go, oh, wait a second. Hey. All right. So the idea is that the pastoral teachers are to teach the word to help the rest of the body become adequate and prepared so that they may serve the Lord in accordance with their gifts. Let me say that again. I'm just reading off of a website I was reading last night. So the idea is that the pastor/teachers are to teach the word to help the rest of the body become adequate or prepared so that they may serve the Lord in accordance with their gifts. Serve the Lord. So we serve God and we serve one another. We serve man. Okay. This is what the preaching of the word of God produces in us. Produces in us because just like our Lord came not to serve, but to, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So we in his image then are come to serve. I come to serve. How do I serve you? I serve you by bringing the word each week. That's how I serve. How do I serve? How do you serve? How do you serve? Well, you use your gifts, but not everyone can fit up on the stage. Okay. But nor is that the way. They didn't have a stage in the first church. They didn't have instruments in the early church. Come on. And so how do you serve? You serve by, well, a whole bunch of ladies got up and walked over there. And listen, please do not minimize this. Do not minimize when you get up, walk over to somebody and place your hands on them. Do not minimize that. That's one of the foundational principles mentioned in Hebrews chapter 6, the laying on of hands. There's power transfer when we lay on of hands. But now if you treat it, if you just think, oh, well, let me just go, you know. No, there's life imparted. What the scriptures teach about when Jesus laid his hands on them, they were healed. What did Mark 16 says, you shall lay hands upon the sick. And they shall recover. Well, now, was Jesus telling the truth? Okay, well, then if he is true, and he is, and he was telling the truth, why would I diminish that or belittle that or think, well, you know, when pastor says, let's go pray for someone, and we just sit there. Miss Edna got up with her walker, and she made her way across the sanctuary to lay hands on somebody. Come on. Don't minimize that. You say, well, how am I going to serve, pastor? I'm laying it all out. you can lay hands on people. You can speak a word to people. You can give someone a ride to church. You can. We had a ministry years ago. Sherry headed up this ministry. It was a delight, wasn't it, Sherry? It was called New Beginnings. We named it after the place across the street, but it was all drug addicts and alcoholics and people who were addicted. And And Sherry was the first one who started to said, we would go, Sherry would go over there and bring them over to the church. And they would sit in the, they would sit in the pews. And we preached to them. Guess what happens when you preach to unsaved people and the addicts? They get saved. And we pull that baptismal tank up to the front and we baptize people. We were baptizing people left and right. And some of the dudes I was raised with come through that place and they sit up here, Pat, man, you up here preaching? And they coming out the attic. They over there stuck on the deacon board's son, the head of the deacon board, his son came through there. I saw, I'm looking at him. I'm praying, laying hands on him. He looking at me like, I remember you. Yeah, this is God. This is God. God rescued you. He delivered you. And he rescued him that day. Amen. And so, but that was a service. That was, she was serving. Was serving. I remember years ago, we used to go get bread from the local shops and we'd all bring all the bread. We'd have so much bread. After we gave it all, as much as we could away, we'd have to throw the rest away. But we were serving people. There's a food bank here. Dean said, by the way, whenever you need to come for that family, you come. He said, whenever, just come. And so no one has to starve. No family should, you don't have to go without food. You can take them food. That's serving. I got more to say. Let me see. I said this was going to be short. Let me do this. No, take my time. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, I tell you what, that ministers. See how he served? He served his pastor, man. I tell you what. And so we serve. So we serve God. Acts 27 and 23 says, for there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. Paul said this. When they were on this boat and everybody about to die, Paul said, tonight an angel stood beside me, the angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve. It's not enough just to belong to him. We must serve him. That many people will name the name of Christ, but we have to serve him. Paul said, to whom I belong and to whom I serve. Hello. So we serve God. Romans 1:9, Paul says, for God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. You only serve God. You don't only serve God with your physical body. Here, let me go do this. Pastor said, do this. I really don't want to do it, but let me go on over here and do it. No. But see, that's just serving God with the body. Paul said, I serve God with my spirit. Well, my kids and I were talking about this morning about the part of your life you can't see. That's vitally important. Is as important, if not more important, than the part of this that you can see. Because what you can't see motivates what you can see. And so the two need to be in agreement. Right? And so Paul says, I serve God with my spirit. 1 Corinthians 7:34. Paul says this to the single ladies. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. All the ladies said, amen. Let me hear it, Pastor. Come with it now. Oh, yes. Here it comes, ladies. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord. Ah, somebody said, right? I like that. Let me read it again. It says, the unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord. A little weak there. Listen. That she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. Both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And all the men said, amen. Well, yes. If you're married, you're not single. Yes, I know that's a revelation. But if you're married, you care about the things of this world. Why? Because of he whom you married to. Amen. He's here in the flesh. I'm just having fun. Let me get to the part. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. That you may serve the Lord without distraction. And so, ladies and gentlemen, there are times when you're single. I remember being single, running with my boys. We serve the Lord without distraction. We were preaching on the streets. We were preaching our open air meetings in Georgetown on the street, singing, having worship service, leading people to Jesus, preaching here in Fairfax, preaching at the Fairfax Days, up in the carnivals. We would preach anywhere. We would go anywhere the Lord would lead us. We're preaching in Hardee's, up in Tyson's. We're preaching here in Fairfax, down at Dunkin' Donuts. We're preaching everywhere and wasn't distracted. We were just hot in love with Jesus. Until, ah, yes, I'll never forget the outfit when we first dated. Hala bo soli. I never forget what she was wearing. I said, hey, wait a moment. A little distraction is working in here. Hey, I remember every outfit. Glory, I can put them together. I'd name them all because I was wholly distracted. Lord Jesus, when the time comes, it's over. You hear me? When it's time for you to be distracted, amen, it is over. Hey, I remember it all. Glory to his name. Okay, let me get back. Come on, y'all. Y'all getting away from the message. Come on. Yeah. Let's stay on course. We're talking about serving the Lord without distraction. Amen. We're serving the Lord. So how has God gifted you to serve? How has God gifted you to serve? It's a question that we ask ourselves, right? Because the scripture says that these gifts, these men were given for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. For the work of service. Okay, well then if I'm called to serve, then what is my gifting? Where am I going to serve? Well, so we looked at how we serve God, but you also serve your fellow man. Galatians 5:13 says that for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Through love serve one another. And so my motivation for serving you should be love. So when I went over to Namibia, when Tori and I went in 2009, and we got to Arundas, and I looked at all that was going on, and I saw the ministry that the Graham family had there, and I thought, well, they're serving. I mean, Carrie's at the dump site now and been there for years helping, but Steve was helping in the school and teaching and helping any way he could. And that's an energizer bunny right there. That man don't stay still. He's just going all day, all the time. But they're serving, giving of themselves. And I said to myself, wow, well, this is what's so important about service. Being a servant opens up the door for leadership. Being a servant opens up the door for leadership. I'm sorry. This thing that there are born leaders. Well, but that's not how you started. You might be a born leader. That may be your destiny. But where you start, come on, Joseph didn't start in the palace. Joseph was a tremendous leader and manager and administrator, but he didn't start there. Right? And so being a servant opens up the door for you and I to then lead someone. Right? Matthew 20:26, Jesus said, talking about how the world does among the Gentiles, those who are great have authority over people because the disciples wanted to know who was going to be the greatest. Jesus said, it shall not be so among you. It shall not be so. He says, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Your servant. Are the greatest people in America our servants? They should be, but are they? No. I'm sorry. They're not. So again, how do we serve? Romans chapter 12, we looked at this a few weeks ago. Paul talking about the giftings that were in the body. He says, for we as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So if you have a gift, if you notice that God uses you with in the spirit of prophecy, then use that. Prophesy so that you can serve God's body with the prophetic word that God gives you. He goes on and says, or ministry. Or if we have a gift of service, we have a gift of God using us to serve people. Like, I know, you know, many preachers talk about Nehemiah's gift of leadership. He had a gift of leadership, but he also had a gift of service. That man served. That man humbled himself and gave himself to the work of rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem. Right? And so he who teaches on teaching, so forth and so on. But one major way we serve may be overlooked. One major way that we serve may be overlooked or even looked down upon. The job that you hold is oftentimes a way of service. The job. I mean, your vocation. Let's just get real. Think about it. Most of us have jobs that we like or that we're fitted to. We have a job that obviously we chose it. No one forced us into it. And it's something that we are giving ourselves to. And we're there literally 8, 9, sometimes 10 hours a day. Okay. And so when it comes to serving, we don't only serve when we're in the building here, when we're together, because that'd be once or twice a week. But our lives are lives of service 24/7. And so let me read this. Colossians chapter 3. Paul says in verse 22, bondservants will be akin to our employees today. The bondservant, the servant was in bondage because they owed something. All of us go to work today because we owe something. Okay, so I'm trying to make the correlation. It's not real hard, but it's there. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Let me read it a little differently. Employees, obey in all things your masters according, or your supervisors according to the flesh, not with eye service, not when only they're watching, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. So when we wake up in the morning and go to work, do we go to work with the fear of God in our heart? Come on, I always tell our children that your work is school right now. So just make the manual, amen. All you young people in school, yeah. Kaylee, Ashlyn, come on. All the young people, Jessa, Michelle, Irene, yeah, come on. That's your work, okay? And you go with the fear of God. You don't go, I don't care what the professor said. I'm not turning in that paper right now. Nope. Wrong. Wrong. He ain't the one put you in school. He's not the one put you in school. I tell you, your parents may be paying, but God is the one who put you in school. Okay? Because after you get out of school, you have to go get a job. And the attitude that you take from work and school is the attitude you're going to take from to your work at work. Okay? And remember that God assigned Adam work before the fall. Work is not a result of sin. Work is what God gave to you to use all of that intelligence that he gave you in creating you in his image. So he said, I worked 7 days to create all of this. Now what you going to do? You're going to work 6 days. He said, I worked 6 days. You took off. Now you're going to work. So it's not a result of sin. I love going to work. My God, I love going to work. I love getting up in the morning. I love it. I just thank Jesus that everything working fine, everything working straight. Thank you, Father, because I'm about to go here and I'm going to get down with it. I'm going to get down because I love what I do. I love what I do. When I got finished doing what I do a week ago, a lady slammed $100 cash in my hand. That was the tip. Then she wrote me out a $500 check. Now, I had already made money off the job, but she slammed $100 in my hand because she perceived. She said, I don't know how y'all do what y'all do, but man, y'all do it good. And she slammed $100 in my hand. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, because when we work, as unto the Lord blesses and he rewards us. And I'm just saying that I love what I do. And beloved, Paul says, listen, and whatever you do. Oh, no, who's this over here? That's Ashley. Nursing program, right? Nursing. Changing. It doesn't matter. Because the scripture says, whatever you do. Kaylee, whatever you do.
Whatever it is. Glory to God.
Listen. Amen. This is important. Brother, thank you. Listen.
Yes.
Whatever you do. Listen, yes. Church. Do it heartily.
Hallelujah.
Do it heartily. Whatever you do.
Justin's still left out.
Justin, no.
Amen.
I don't have to say Justin, no. I be bringing it to my boy. He know.
Right.
Whatever you do.
Right.
I forget who said, who was I talking to? The other day, someone said to me, pulled me inside and said, how do you get the job of cleaning out the Don John's portable toilet? Someone actually asked me. And I looked at the person, I'm like, well, you know, somebody got to listen. Somebody needs a job.
Right.
Y'all know the Don John's.
Right.
Okay. And the person said, how do you get that job? I said, well, hey, does it put food on the table?
Come on.
Does it pay the bill?
Come on now.
Why am I saying that? Because it says, whatever you do.
Right.
Now, why are you preaching? Because sometimes we have to do something we don't want to do.
Right.
Sometimes we have to do something we don't like.
Sometimes.
But Paul didn't say, listen, when it gets all right and you really enjoying yourself, do it hard.
Right.
He said, no, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So when I go and I'm vacuuming in the carpet, preparing it for me.
Right.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. This is Jesus. I'm going to Jesus.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
When I'm putting down the priest's spray and bringing up the equipment and everything, and I fit everything on and we get down with it, it's cleaned up real nice. I said, thank you, Jesus.
To the glory of God.
Thank you, Jesus. And when I almost fell down the steps, thank you, Jesus.
Right.
Yeah,
he's faithful.
My kids know.
He's faithful.
My children know. I fell up the steps the other day. Sugar, don't laugh that hard.
That's wrong.
Listen. I fell up the steps, and by the grace of God, I'm telling you, I would not be here today if something had moved me over.
Come on.
Because my head was heading towards a metal corner of a pipe. It was hidden. And all of my weight was going forward. It was that Friday when it was raining like crazy. And I missed my footing. And I...
He's going to talk to you when you home.
I'm already talking to you. And I'm going forward. And I don't even have time to say Jesus.
Right.
But my life flashed in front of my eyes. And the thought Jesus. I just thought.
Yeah.
And right as I'm ready to hit this pipe, something, my balance, I don't know how it happened, but I went off to the side over here and took the brunt of it. And yeah, I got a bruise and a scar down here. But if I hit that, your pastor would not be here preaching today.
Right.
Definitely wouldn't be preaching less.
Right.
And I said, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Because all that I'm doing as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord, right?
Amen.
He goes on, he says this, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ.
Right.
For you serve the Lord Christ. Now, I'm trying to tie all this together. These gifts were given for the works of service. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only here when we're together in the church, but at all times.
Right.
we are serving God, which is your reasonable act of service or reasonable act of worship. Romans 12, 2 tells us. So in other words, what we see is then that you have to be present in the life of someone, in the life of that, those people that you're around, and have an impact, or excuse me, have an audience with them in order to impact their lives. I want to illustrate this with a closing scripture. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we have a story from Naaman, the leper. And I'm going to read these four verses. It says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of battle, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back a captive young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel.'" Now what I want to do is I want to show you and I in this passage. I want to make an application. Because what we're going to see is that we see in verse 1, for instance, that the Lord is active in the life of the king of Syria through his commander.
Right.
These people are not worshipers of Yahweh. They are not covenant people. They're not Jews. They're not proselytes. They're not followers of Judaism. They are outside of the covenant. Yet the scripture says that Naaman was a great and honorable man before the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. Let me say this. It's because someone doesn't know Jesus doesn't mean that the Lord is not working for them, not working in them, not working around them. God knows that all the time.
Say it again, Pastor.
He's doing that all the time.
Amen.
He's working in people's lives. And so when I go into somebody's house to clean carpet, I recognize, and I'm waiting. I'm just open to the Lord, because I know, I'm saying, Lord, I know I'm not just here to clean carpet. Because anytime you get ready to, anytime you get ready to use this old boy, I want to be ready. I want to be ready.
That's good.
Okay? And so, why? Because I know you're working in people's lives. It goes on and it says, he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And this is true of anyone who doesn't know Jesus. Leprosy in the Bible is a symbolic of sin.
Right.
Everyone who is outside the covenant,
right,
the new covenant,
right,
has been infected with this disease of leprosy,
right,
spiritual leprosy, which is sin. And just as he was, so are people today. But what we have to notice in all of this, God is at work in this story.
Right.
Because he's moving one of his covenant people into relationship with a non-covenant person so that he can bring salvation to that home. God is doing the same thing in you and I, because there are all kinds of people that God brings us into contact with who are outside the covenant, who are infected with the leprosy of sin, and he's bringing us into their environment so that we might preach the gospel, so that we might share the truth of Christ, that they might be made clean. Because you know the story of what happened to Naaman. He dipped seven times in the Jordan.
Come on.
And his skin,
come on,
was made whole.
Glory to God.
Okay.
Glory to God.
Why did all of that happen, though? Well, look at it. We'll see. So what we see here is that the Lord, let me read it again. It says this, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel.
Right.
Now, when Syria went on a raid, they went on a raid in Israel. Anytime Israel was defeated in battle, it was because of what? Because God did it. If they sinned, God would allow them to fall.
Right.
Okay? To their enemies. Well, God, in this particular instance, allowed them to go out on a raid, and they brought back an Israeli girl.
Right.
They brought back a Jewish girl.
Right.
And so what we see then, this girl is now a captive. She's a prisoner.
Right.
Now, some of you may feel like you're a prisoner on your God.
Right.
You may feel like you're captured. You have no way out. You're stuck. Mm-hmm. And you feel like, well, like this young girl felt.
Right.
Here I'm a captive in a foreign land. I don't have any power to free myself.
Right.
What am I to do? There are a lot of Christian people that feel that. Okay, and so up to this point, what are we seeing? What we're seeing is rather that the Lord has been active in this whole scene to bring about his very unique purpose. Now, here's the pivotal part. Because God works and then we work.
Right.
God has his part and we have ours.
Right.
So this girl is a captive. She cannot get away. She's in prison. What's she to do? How will she respond to being captured?
Right.
How will she respond? How do we respond when we're in a circumstance that we cannot control and we do not like?
Right.
How do we respond? In particular with work. If work is going bad and we come home, I hate that place.
Right.
And that person, I can't stand it.
Right.
Now, listen, I'm not just making stuff up. I have pastored people through things like this. Come on. Some of you have been around on Tuesday nights when people will come into prayer and fall out, crying and boo-hooing and everything. I don't know what I'm going to do. Pastor, what am I going to do? And I'm sitting up there, been through the same thing. And if you haven't, just hang on.
You will. That's true.
Come on, all of us go through this.
Right.
What am I supposed to do, Pastor? Let patience have a perfect work, dear.
Right.
Let patience have a perfect work. God's working something out in you.
I can't
do one more day. Oh, you will do one more day. Matter of fact, you'll do the next day, and you'll do the next day, and do the next day. Because if you run from this, you're only going to turn a corner and meet it around the corner. Hello.
Amen.
But the question is, how does she respond? How do we respond to being in a position that we don't like at work?
Right.
Will she be mad at God? Will she curse her captors and be contrary? Maybe she'll try and poison Naaman's wife.
Huh.
Hey, why not? You know, they captured me, this ain't right. I'm an Israeli, I'm a covenant person.
Come on.
I don't appreciate this.
Right.
But look at this, look at what the scripture says. Verse 3 says this, the latter part of verse 2, she waited on Naaman's wife.
Uh-huh.
The word wait means
to
serve.
That's right.
She served.
Yeah.
Naaman's.
Well, that's right. Amen.
She served.
That's right. Amen.
And so, please don't underestimate the power of serving.
Glory to God.
Don't underestimate. It's all through the Bible. Joseph was put in prison. Something he didn't do. What did he do in prison? He served the head of the prison. He sent the head of the prison, put him in charge of the prison.
Then
when he got in Potiphar's house, he served.
Glory
he served.
He got the man.
He served. He served and he served.
Preach.
And all throughout, people were put in these places. And what was their response?
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Served. Ultimately, Jesus Christ came.
Right.
And being found in the image of a man, he did not, though he was equal with God, he did not consider it a robbery. But he humbled himself and became a servant.
Amen.
A slave.
That's right.
And he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Oh, wherefore God has highly exalted. The scripture tells us. And so the young girl, this is what's so beautiful about this. God was in control. He was orchestrating this whole thing. He brought this girl into this place. Sometimes God has you in the place where you are because he has something that he wants you to minister and say to someone who's in captivity.
Right. Right.
But see, we are so burnt up about what our circumstances is.
Right.
We can't see any other purpose beyond what I see about myself.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so we can miss the fact that God's doing something.
Yes.
But if we humble ourselves and serve, if we humble ourselves and serve,
right,
we, like this young girl, look, the young girl never even got to preach the name.
No.
She never even got to speak the name.
Right.
She was waiting on Naaman's wife. She was serving Naaman's wife.
Right.
And instead of being vindictive and full of poison,
right,
the young girl, having listened to, you can imagine her. Man's full of leprosy.
Right.
His wife is probably talking all day long about her husband's leprosy and a toe falls off here or something happens there. This,
right,
this horrible disease. And the girl, instead of saying, good,
yeah, right,
I pray and to ruminate. Hey, little things to sit down so long and become bitter and all that, and not be like this young girl. But watch this. Her serving prepared the way for her share. Her serving. She just didn't go up in. No, she served. She served Naaman's wife, and then the day came where she shared.
Come on.
Why? Because people don't care how much you know
until
they know.
Come on.
How much you
care. Amen. That's right, Pastor.
And so serve. See, that's why when I saw the grand, they serve. That's what missionaries do. You go serve. You go meet a need.
You don't serve.
You go feed before you preach to a hungry soul.
Right.
You feed that starving soul.
Right.
And you take care of what they're longing for and needful for, and then you can bring the word.
Right.
And so she served, and her service prepared the way for her sharing. Her service led to her meeting.
Yes.
Her service of this family led to her leading of Naaman through his wife.
Yes.
Not only to his healing. He didn't only get healed.
Right.
At the end, he told Elisha, can I have some dirt from Israel? I want to take some dirt because when I go back to Syria, I want to worship God on his dirt, on his land.
Ooh.
Come on. You read the story. He said, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to bow my knee to the God of Israel.
Yes,
he not only got healed, he got converted.
Yes, he did.
He got converted. Why? Because a little servant girl who served her way into leadership, she served her way into leading them to Christ, to leading them to the God of Israel.
Yeah.
That's what God's calling you and I to do. That wherever we go, whatever it is, whatever we have to put our hands to, that we serve to the point of leading people out of prison and into the freedom of knowing God through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And so I'll never forget when I was at Giant Food. Now, I look back at my life, I said, I look back at my life, I look back at the Lord in my life. I look back with Morgan and Giant and this man, he was a porter. All he did was push the broom around the floor and give up the dirt. That's all he did all day long. He pushed the dirt. And he was an alcoholic. He drank himself literally to death. He drank himself into cirrhosis of the liver. And one day he wasn't at work, I said, where's Russell? They said, Russell. Man, Russell. I'm like 23, 24. Russell's dying. He's not at work. And so I go to his house. It was a summer day. Screen door was open. Well, the door was open. Screen door was closed.
Right.
I'm walking up the steps and I smell him when I'm walking up the steps.
Uh-huh.
I can smell him. I go inside. Can I talk to Russell? He's in there. He's laying on the bed. He's about 90 pounds. He's at the bitter end.
Right.
And I'm like, Russell, he can't even move. I said, Russell, if you understand me, just blink your eyes. Russell, do you know Jesus? Let me not spend time with him. This is one of those moments.
Right.
Russell, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
No.
Russell, would you like to receive Jesus Christ? Yes. Pray with him the sinner's prayer.
Glory to God.
Spent a little more time with him and left. 2 weeks later, he's dead. Going to clean a lady's house, Miss Levine. Mrs. Levine, I'll never forget. She opened up the door with a baseball cap on her head, no hair. I knew that, you know what was going on.
Right.
I started cleaning her basement. One time, she came down in the basement, and I just felt this grab. She had grabbed me, grabbed my arm, holding on so tight. I cleaned the carpet, sat down. She just cried. She cried. Now, I'm serving. Been serving it for years. Been cleaning the carpet. You say, why does God still have you out there cleaning the carpet? You should quit that job and pass the full time. People have told me that. That's fine. Because I did you think, but remember now, someone else owns it for it.
Right.
Someone else did.
Right.
And so I go, I sit down with her, and she's crying. Like God said, you have a Bible. She found got a Bible, led her to Jesus Christ.
Come on,
sitting on her basement. So
come on,
she's been gone.
Come on, she's been gone.
She wasn't in the church.
Come on.
But it was out there.
Look at Jesus.
It was out where she was captive.
Look at Jesus.
It was out where God called me to serve, and through serving, then you lead me,
Lord,
so we get Jesus.
Yes.
You led them to Christ.
Yes.
And so what's our gift? How do we serve wherever we are.
Wherever we are.
And so ultimately this servant girl preached the word of the Lord. She preached the word of healing, deliverance to her captives. And as I said, this is exactly what we're going to do in the contrary world that we live. My wife is in a circumstance. I'm not going to go into detail with her right now, but she's in a circumstance on her job. Just when you think about my wife, pray for her.
Yeah.
Pray for her. I'll just say this to say this that it with all the transgender and LGBT and all that going on, pray for our nation.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot the church is going to in love have to confront.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if you saw Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, I believe, from Texas, who responded to President Obama's what he recommended when we approached this whole thing, which I did not agree with, but he responded to it in kind. And so, like Naaman, who had no way out, the world doesn't know, they don't know any way out.
Perfect.
They're trying to fabricate their own way.
Right.
It won't work. There's a way that seems right unto the man, but the end thereof is
destruction.
Death. What Proverbs said. The way that seems right, but it's death.
Right.
So Naaman had no way out. He needed God, but didn't know it. The word of salvation was in the young girl's mouth, as it is in our mouths too. May we not be hampered by adverse circumstances, but remain full of the testimony of Jesus that the world needs so desperately. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. I thank you for the scripture of truth.
Thank
I thank you that the word that we have just heard now has entered into us. It is changing us. It is ministering to our spirit by the Holy Spirit who is living within us. I thank you that we're being transformed into your image and into your likeness constantly. And I thank you that therein you will be glorified and we will be blessed by your constant continued presence and nearness, oh God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us every day to lay our lives down in service, to lay our lives down on the altar. Lord, that we, by serving you, Lord, through serving others, oh God, would be a blessing, Lord, and we would be able to take the word of deliverance, the word of salvation, the word of healing, oh God, to those who are captives, to those who don't know it, oh God, but they're in prison themselves. And so, Lord, I pray, help us all today. Lord, to grow in perspective on what it means to serve you and to serve our fellow man. And I also ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. And everyone said amen.
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 Good word. Amen. It's called a good word.